it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Baseball present. Baseball past. Share some stories. Share some laughs. You're gonna have a blast if you listen to the Jim Day Podcast.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jim Day Podcast. I'm so glad, so thankful you chose this podcast. You continue to listen, so we continue to do it. Quick shout out once again. We've started a YouTube venture. It's called Extra Bases with me, Extra Bases with Jim Day, and it's behind the scenes type of stuff. That you wouldn't otherwise see. Check it out on the Reds YouTube channel, or just go to YouTube and search for Extra Bases with Jim Day, or you could put my name in. You could probably put Nerd in, and I'd come up. So, not hard to find, and we would ask you to subscribe to the Reds YouTube channel and subscribe to the show, just as you subscribe to this podcast. So, we very much appreciate that. Now, we're branching out today. I love this guy, Brent Suter, except when he's on the mound pitching against the Reds for the Brewers. But he's a Cincinnati kid, a man of Moeller, Harvard graduate, very smart, very funny. In fact, I've dreamed of him being a Cincinnati Red only because for what I do, he's gold. So I wanted to tap into Brent Suter, and there's no better time to do it now. Because he's obviously a Major League Baseball pitcher, player. He's environmentally conscious. He's an impressionist. And now he's a writer. He wrote a children's book for his son, Liam. It's called The Binky Bandit. And you can get it on Amazon or any of the places that you get books. I highly recommend this book. We're going to talk about that coming up. And there'll be some impressions along the way. But we're going outside of the realm just a little bit, but Cincinnati kid. And we love that. We support anything Cincinnati and still makes his offseason home right here in the Natty. So hope you enjoy it. Our talk with Cincinnati's Brent Suter. All right, let's welcome into the Jim Day Podcast, Cincinnati's own Brent Suter. Should I call you Major League Baseball player? Should I call you environmentalist? Should I call you impressionist? Or should I call you a writer?
That's a great question. I say Major League Baseball player, I guess, for now. In this circumstances, makes sense.
Well, you are you have written a children's book, The Binky Bandit. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But I want to shoot you some baseball stuff right off the bat, if you don't mind. If he's a Moeller man. What's it like being a Moeller man in this town? Because it comes with some prestige in this town, let's face it.
Yeah. No, it's really cool to kind of go out there and represent Moeller High School. I know there's a lot of other guys that have been in the big leagues, big-time careers in the big leagues, a couple Hall of Famers, and a lot of guys that are right on that cusp, too, of being in the big leagues right now. A lot of guys who came right after me, and just an honor to be a part of that legacy, honestly. Ken Griffey Jr. was my favorite player growing up. And I lived all over the country before coming here in second grade, so I was a fan of him when I was out in California and Atlanta, and he's my favorite player. And to be able to go to his same high school, which was ironically my dad's high school as well, and all his brothers, was a very big honor.
Now, when you're elsewhere and you say, I'm went to Moeller High School, do you say,
yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. went there, Barry, Barry Larkin went there, those names you drop?
Well, honestly, a lot of people in Pro Bowl have heard of it. So, I'll say, I went to Moeller. They go, wow, yeah, that's like the only school I know in Cincinnati because, like, guys they've played with and stuff. So, it's, ironically enough, they say, didn't, you know, this guy go there, that guy go there? And I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good history of guys going there for sure. So, yeah, that, like I said, the legacy is something else.
All the elder people and St. X people that are listening to this and anyone else that have gone to high school in Cincinnati cringing right now.
Right, sorry.
It is what it is. These men of Moeller. All right, now, you go on to Harvard. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said this before. There are certain guys that I've interviewed that have really upped the IQ level on this podcast, which is not hard to do, by the way. So I appreciate you upping the level. What was it like going to Harvard?
It was incredible. When I first got there, just like the campus welcomed everybody with open arms. And then to be able to get to know my classmates, and then as we got to know each other more and more, how amazing these people were. Yeah. Was something else. I mean, like, you're talking about Team Jeopardy winners, people who were saving, doing like huge type of experiments and life-saving medicines researched on, like, crazy stuff. And the amazing thing to me was how quality everyone was as an individual, you know, like how down-to-earth people were. You had your select few that were, you know, the snobby, you know, the stereotypical elitist snobby, like that's still there.
Stereotypical, I went to Harvard.
Yeah, it's drowning when it rains kind of thing. But the vast majority of people I came into contact with there were incredible people, like as genuine and as good people as you get. So that was the coolest part for me, were the people.
How about going through the minor leagues in pro ball? You know, everyone likes to razz and tease everyone. You say, I went to Harvard. It's someone that didn't know, and they're like, come again?
Right, right.
Did you get that, like, for real?
Yeah, they think I'm joking. And then there's definitely, certainly in the first couple of years in the minor leagues, there was some good ribbon going on. You know, everyone, you know, my pitching coach in rookie ball called me Harvard. He never called me Brent or Suit or anything. He just called me Harvard.
Called you Harvard?
Yeah, just kept calling me Harvard. I was like, okay, is that your thing? How do I identify
love
me?
That.
Okay. But definitely got some ribbon early. And then, you know, as I've gone on, there's still ribbon there and everything. But some of my teammates just found out a couple of days ago that I went to Harvard. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, wait, you went to Ivy League school? Harvard? Like, yes, I don't like advertising it too much, but I guess, you know, something to know about me. But so it's definitely died down in terms of the ribbing for sure.
Well, I'm glad I brought it back then. That's a beautiful thing.
Right, right.
You have now, I said, you know, writer, baseball player, impressionist, which I love. I actually did a bit with you on camera. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Jim Carrey is your guy. Now, why? Was he just one of your idols growing up?
Definitely. Just like Ken Griffey Jr. was my favorite baseball player, he was my favorite comedian. So every day I'd be going to my parents like, alrighty then, can we get a little dinner, please? You know, so take care now, bye-bye then. And I'd go to bed. So,
this is
like
audio
that.
Only, folks. I wish you could see the facial expression because it's dead on.
Yeah. But I did his impression growing up all the time. And then, just kind of became a thing. And a guy I played with in the minor leagues, Tim Dillard, who's actually one of our media broadcasters now, was a master impressionist. And he would just take me through how he did things and all that stuff, like when he didn't have anything to say, what he'd come up with and all that stuff, and just learn from him. And then I showed him my Jim Carrey. He's like, that's pretty good. You might want to use that, you know, a little bit. So I busted it out every now and then. And then, you know, it's been in the big leagues a while now. So it's been fun.
Do teammates get sick of it at all?
Probably, but they don't say it to my face too much, but they probably do.
I love it. I don't think I could get enough of it.
Right.
I think the bit we did was, you want to hear the most annoying.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. It was like, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
The crossed eyes is the best. I should have shot video of that. Of course, I do have that on video, which is beautiful. All right. If I could interview Jim Carrey for a moment, can you get into character like a Jim Carrey? What would Jim Carrey say about this lowly podcast?
You know, I've been on some podcasts in my day, and let me tell you, this one stinks on ice. No, no, this is great. This is great. This is great. You know, I fancy myself in autumn, but I love this podcast a lot. Thank you for providing me the bottled water, but I decided to bring my own bottle myself. Thank you very much.
Gosh darn. Oh, see, I should have taken this to the video form. Missing out on that. So, Jim Carrey, what do you think about the Brewers, the Brew Crew?
You know, these last couple of weeks have been kind of grindy for the staff and for the team in general. We had 18 games and 17 days streak that took some IL stints from us, but you know what? We're coming back healthy. We're coming back ready to beat the Red Legs this week. And can I get an amen?
I can't give you an amen on that.
I'm a Reds nerd. Wrong podcast to do that.
Yeah, this is a Red-centric podcast. By the way, I think you're the first posing player to be on this podcast.
Really?
I don't know. I had Uecker on, so I guess he counts as a player, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's an honor for sure.
Well, I had to have the Cincinnati guy on. What's it like to come back and play here? I've done it several times, obviously, now. But
yeah.
Is it died off as far as, like, people coming to see you play here? Or
I don't – in terms of, like, the family section being packed and going crazy, it's died off a little bit. But there's still, you know, families coming to a lot of games. They're just, you know, more spread out now and kind of saying hey in the bullpen every now and then. And honestly, it's a dream come true every time I take the mound out here. It's awesome. I was telling someone else earlier, I've probably sat in every section in Great American Ballpark growing up. You know, like, it just everywhere in this building I've been, and to be able to go out there and pitch against the Reds is something else. It's my favorite trip in the big leagues by far.
Do you still live here in the off season?
Yeah,
right?
Yep. Yep. We live out in Anderson Township. We used to live in Mount Lookout, but we moved houses this past winter. So actually bought Wade Miley's old house.
Hold up. Bought Wade Miley's? Are there ghosts in there or anything?
No, but hopefully there's some zeros because he's dominated with the Reds.
He did. In fact, had a no-no.
Right.
So,
right.
Wow, you bought weight. See, breaking news here on the Jim Day podcast. actually, not breaking. It's old news, but it's breaking on this podcast. you bought his house. Well, did you have to negotiate with him or someone else?
Well, we just did it straight up because he found out that my in-laws were building a house right across the street in 2020, and he called me right away and said, hey, dude, I just found out your in-laws are building a house across the street. I'm going to sell you this house when I'm done playing for the Reds. And I was like, whoa, that's something we'll think about. Thank you so much. You know what I mean? And sure enough, he held up to his word. So as soon as he found out he wasn't coming back here this year, he reached out to me and said, hey, it's yours if you want it, kind of thing.
And it's across the street from the in-laws?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Some in-law points you got.
I know. It's crazy.
Hold on. Now, this can be a good and bad thing.
Right.
Right? I just thought about this.
No, they're awesome. I mean,
obviously, you're in good with the in-laws.
Right. Yeah, they're incredible people. I feel really blessed to be kind of in this situation. They haven't moved in quite yet. They built a house, so they're finishing up the building process. But very soon they'll be in there, and we'll be rocking as neighbors.
Funny dude, this Brent Suter, and we'll get back to him after this.
Western and Southern is committed to helping make Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and play. That's why we're proud to sponsor the Strikeout Cancer Initiative. Every time a Cincinnati Reds pitcher strikes out a batter, Western and Southern makes a donation to the Barrett Cancer Center. We're all in this one together to beat cancer. Join Western and Southern in this mission to make our hometown better than ever. Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Jim Day here. I've teamed up with Swift to bring you the sounds of summer. And the sounds of summer. With the freshest selection of cuts, from ribeyes to chops, Swift keeps this going all season long. Baseball and grilling. Ask for Swift Meats at your local grocer.
Good food, good moments. One great meal. Come together with Swift.
When you are in Cincinnati and you're a kid, how many times you come down here to the stadium?
Total? Probably around 100, I'd say, honestly.
Get out of town. 100?
I came to games probably, like, I would go to 8 to 10 games a year for, years.
This was the early 2000s?
Yeah.
Is that what the time frame we're talking about?
Yep. I remember coming to Riverfront when I first moved here, and then Great American when it opened, came a bunch of times. I would maybe 80 to 100. I mean, it was up there, but I remember I came to a game here in 2015 after like AAA finished up, and then the next year I was in September, and then the next year in September I was pitching here. So it was just like crazy cool stuff like that.
Was it surreal the first time that you pitched here?
Yes. Like really debut-ish in terms of like the adrenaline and excitement and all that stuff. It was something else, and then just hearing my family, you know, roaring after, you know,
I remember that game.
Yeah,
they were going crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
I love it when the Cincinnati guys come through here because it's you know, it's always special. You know, it's a,
yeah,
it's a special town. Even though Mike Vassallo used to work here,
right?
He put a black eye on the organization for a long time.
I've heard that one.
Oh wait, he's sitting back there.
Oh, hey,
oh
Mike.
My
oh, sorry,
gosh,
I didn't see you there.
I'm so sorry. Mike Vassallo used to work in what would you call that? Media relations, public relations. What's the official title now?
Senior Director of Media Relations.
Talk about drowning in the rain.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow, that sounds so important.
Yeah, right.
But he delivered you here today. Because I said, hey, how long can I have? Okay, can I get 30 minutes? 30 minutes? What? 30 minutes? Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, normally I go longer. I don't know. Like, Votto gave me 90.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a few times.
Joey.
Yeah.
Do it, Joey.
No, he gets to going.
Yeah.
And he did. I tried to get him to stop. He's done like three or four of them, maybe more.
Oh, wow.
In spring training, I tried to get him to stop at like the 50-minute mark, and he's like, what else you got? And then 40 minutes later, we're still going.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, he gets in that mode, so it's crazy. Awesome. All right, I was looking up some video of you. First of all, the the delivery. Let's just say different deliveries.
Right.
I just love them. Yep. I don't know why. I just hate the same mechanical stuff.
Right.
Where did this delivery come from?
It was a morphed, like, guys who I played with in college are watching me pitch going, dude, I don't even recognize your mechanics at all. Like, who are you pitching? So I realized coming into pro ball, I had a little natural cut to it. And then I realized the more I bent over, the more I would exaggerate that cut. And then I started shifting way over to the first base side. And then it kind of got a little bit more deception, get a little more cut. And then during rehab, I realized I didn't like facing forward from the windup. It kind of created too much, like, excess movement. So I started, you know, facing the first base bag and then doing a little step back and then delivering. So that change happened in 2019 during Tommy John rehab. And then, everything else since then has kind of been like little tweaks in here and there of just trying to, you know, increase the cut, increase the deception, increase the, you know, effectiveness of the off-speed stuff as well.
What's it been like pitching for the Brewers? I mean, you guys have had some good years.
It's been incredible. I mean, you're talking – I was a 31st-round pick in 2012, and they gave me a fair shot every step of the way. Like, it was all – like, I got a fair shake just like anybody else did, and the way they treated everybody meant a lot, and is a big reason why I'm in the big leagues today is because they treated me really fair, and they've been nothing but great to me in the big leagues too. Playing for Craig Counsell, I've never played for a different manager than Craig Counsell. He's the best manager in the game, in my opinion, you know, bar none. And he has so much feel for the club, so much feel in game tactical movements. It's incredible. And you know, be a part of the, you know, the front office is great too, and be a part of the group of guys that have come through here is it's an honor for sure.
When I see Craig Counsell smile, I write down the date.
he's sweating buckets during the game, isn't he? Oh, my gosh.
Some of these shots that we take, you know, we only see you 18, 19 times a year.
Right.
So, but, you know, the games I caught, other games I've caught, too, you just go to him in the dugout, and he's just like, it's like, you know, waiting on a baby to be born.
Right.
You know, it's like.
Right. Yeah. Emergency. Yeah. Delivery type. Yeah. It is so funny. And we tease him all the time. But, yeah, he smiles a lot when the game's not going on.
And
even like in moments after, you know, good outings or just like funny stuff happening, he'll let loose for sure and smile, but he is all business when it comes between the lines, for sure.
No doubt about that. No, you're not a high velocity guy. How tough, I mean, what'd you say, 31st round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, that is getting it the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you had to prove yourself at every level, even more than other guys because of the, you know, this game has turned into, hey, do you throw 95? You know, mm-hmm. those are some of the guys don't even get drafted anymore. Like the Kyle Hendricks, I'm not sure they draft him anymore.
Right. Yeah, same here.
Was it hard in that regard every step of the way?
Even
though you had that lefty thing going, you got always got that lefty thing going.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that was challenging. I definitely, you know, had to prove it a little bit longer maybe than some other guys, but it made me better and it made me like more equipped for the big leagues, I would say. So it was one of those things that, like, at the time, there was moments of frustration, like, man, I've earned this call up and not getting it. You know, that those thoughts run through your head, but I think it made me that much better and, you know, mentally tougher to deal with the ups and downs of big league life, which are crazy.
When are you a free agent?
After next season. So, after 2023.
Okay.
You know what I'm thinking. I'm not even going to go there.
You so silly. As my son would say, you so silly.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
So silly?
You so silly. Yeah, all the time.
I'm not going to go there. Just throwing it out there when he might be free to sign with anyone, including hometown teams. Anyways, other video that I looked up, and I just crack up at this, and I'm sure you get this all the time. The tumble.
Oh, where gosh. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Foot went completely out. So guys always ask me, like, even Victor Caratini, who was playing for the Cubs at the time, goes, what happened on that tumble, by the way? And my mud, the mud was caked so high on my cleats that I actually didn't have any separation between my, like, cleat level and the rubber, and my foot just went out. You know what I mean? Like, it just slid right out, and it was a very helpless feeling on the way down. And then I actually, you know, kind of felt decent about the way back up. You know, I kind of gathered myself, was just like, that was weird, you know. But on the way down, I've never felt as unathletic in my life.
Well, I love that you tipped the cap.
Yeah, yes. Tipped the cap. I knew I could hear the bullpen guys going
just
crazy.
Laughing.
Yeah, it was the COVID year, so no one else was in the stands besides right, us. And heard all the bullpen guys had to tip the cap. You know, I saw, remember, Arcia laughing at me. So it was good times.
I got to tell you, the dismount is a 10.
Thank you. I stuck the landing a little bit.
Stuck the landing.
You
may have felt unathletic while it was happening, but the way that you just stuck the dismount, 10 out of 10.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I felt good about that.
Have you ever come close? Did you ever fall at any other level?
Not that I can remember. I think in high school or something, my cleat caught, my front leg cleat caught, and I kind of tumbled a little bit. But Adrian Hauser just went down a couple weeks ago with us and Pitching Ninja. I don't know if you saw, but did like a side-by-side mechanics of Adrian falling down, throwing a spike ball, and me just not even throwing it, just wiping out. And it was very, very funny. Very, very funny tweet.
YouTube the video, folks. Just YouTube Brent Suter, because a couple come up. That's one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And the collision with the dugout
comes
up, which you look at and you're like, oh, my gosh, is he okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try to give you the visual. He's going for a foul ball. I mean, you are flat out getting it. Where is it in? It was against St. Louis.
Yeah.
Against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
To the Cardinals dugout and just bit the railing like hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I miscounted the steps in the warning track or something. But I was focused on the ball and I was trying to slide it in the dugout. The ball ended up hitting my glove, but then I just, like you said, just absolutely crushed the dugout. I think I broke every net. You know, net piece on that section.
There are some pictures of the net, which is a strong net. The net is built to, like, take a 100-mile-per-hour baseball.
Yeah, yeah, no, I took that thing to the cleaner, but my forearm luckily got in the way of my head and the rail, so I just kind of hit my, like, elbow or something, like the muscle, and was able to not have any concussion symptoms. I was good to keep going, but they said it was a 10-1 ball game, and counts is just like, there's no way you're staying in this game. Like,
well, they're very careful about it.
Yeah,
whiplash, anything like that.
Yeah, but I remember the first person I saw was Albert Pujols came out and was just like, dude, stay down, bro. Stay down, bro. You hit that hard, man. You know, that's Pujols was saying that, and then I saw Nolan Arenado, who had just taken me deep, and I was thinking in my head, like, that was a nice swing. That was a nice swing. Thanks for your concern, but even better swing.
That is great.
Yeah.
All right, quick timeout. We'll be right back. Are there any other videos we should look up of you? Besides, you were in a golf cart with a teammate. Were you doing impressions that day?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
It was a bullpen cart spoof video that I did.
Yes, yes. You did a very nice job with that.
Yeah,
whoever did that.
It was me. Hader was kind of the guest in the middle, and then JJ was playing Harry and all that, Jeremy Jeffers, and we did like a ballpark, you know, Dumb and Dumber basically scene in the bullpen cart, and it turned out really well. It was a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think of what lines did you drop from Dumb and Dumber that day?
It was like, we usually don't do this, but I'm going to go with my instincts on this one. Saddle up, partner. You know, stuff like that. And then he gets in there, and then we do the mock, ing, and then the most annoying sound in the world. And then, hey, there's some hitchhikers. Pick them up. You know, and then that's when the video ends. But it turned out really well.
Well, what's great is people probably think that don't know. Josh Hader's like, he's got to be a serious guy. He can't be the goof around guy. He's
Very laid back, as laid back as you ever get. Very funny guy. He actually just had a kid a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Is he
cool.
still on the paternity list?
One more day on the paternity list.
Doggone it, he won't come out of the bullpen tonight. Doggone it, that breaks my heart.
Right, yeah.
He is flat out nasty.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's crazy how nasty he is.
It's historic what he's doing, really. Yeah. You look at it, I mean, he's one of the best. He's on track to be one of the best relievers of all time, and he just is so professional about how he goes about it. Works really, really hard before and after games. I mean, he's in there after the games getting work in, like getting after it, just making sure he's healthy and feeling good. And if he pitches or not, like, it doesn't matter. He's just always getting treatment and getting work in. And, he's something else.
Oh, there is another video that I looked up. You were doing an impression of was dinosaur? It the, or was it
oh,
in?
Oh, the, like the raptor call?
The raptor, yeah. That's it. So this video, he comes out of the dugout, and what is it? The Rockies mascot,
yes.
Right? Is
a raptor or something? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I forget what his name is, but we got in a little tussle and actually ended up hitting me in the face. Like we were filming the video, but he actually hit me in the face.
He actually hit you?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Not hard or anything, but it was very funny, and so it made for a quality fighting scene, I guess.
Wow, that was pretty good. Can you give us another raptor? That facial expression is the best. Oh, this is the first time. I wish this wasn't an audio medium. Nonetheless, I think I saw you do a Chris Farley impression as well. Did you not? Matt Foley?
Yeah. Unintentional talk. It's like one of those, like, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, you kids are probably just asking yourself, hey, Matt, how do we get back on the right track? One of those, but you can't do it like Chris Farley with the gut hanging over the belt. You can't replicate it completely. It's one of the best skits of all time.
The way that he leans over and does his little side to side arm motions, he's around his belt.
Yeah.
The other actors can't keep it. Mm-hmm. And I think that they didn't know that he was going to jump on the table and crash it.
Yeah.
From what I read, that they had no idea.
Yeah.
That was
incredible.
So that's great. All right, we got to talk about this book.
Yeah.
Children's book. It's called The Binky Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the inspiration behind this?
Funny story. I just wanted to write a personal story for Liam to read.
Your son?
Yeah, my son Liam, before bed. We were reading all these random books, and I was like, we could get something more personal connection than that. And I, at the same time, my dog, Wally, was crushing about 4 or 5 binkies a day, like just leaving piles of plastic all over the house. So
really?
I thought it was really funny. We were getting frustrated with how many binkies we were buying, but we thought it was hilarious at how obsessed he was with it. And so I ended up writing the story on a Google Doc like a couple days, and then I mentioned it in a Milwaukee Magazine article a couple months later that I was, you know, just reading Liam the story I wrote before bed, and a publishing company reached out to me, Orange Hat Publishing, who ended up publishing it, saying, hey, we want to read this story.
Oh, that's
I sent
great.
It to them, and they said, hey, we want to publish this.
Wow.
I was like, oh my goodness, sweet. So fast forward a year and a half later, here we are releasing the book, and it's amazing.
That is amazing. Now, what was the, without giving it away, what's the story behind it? And I know you are an environmentally conscious person.
Yeah.
In fact, you go the extra mile, which we'll talk about here in a minute as well. It has a message in there with that, right?
Yep. So Wally is destroying these binkies, and he has this, you know, once he is about to destroy his brother's favorite binky with a painted baseball on it, he has these thoughts in his mind of, A, the damage it'll do to his brother's relationship, but B, what the plastic waste will do to the planet. And he goes on a little tour of the plastic waste kind of going in the ocean with fishies eating the binkies, and then trash piles really high. He's looking from outer space going, look at all this trash. And so he has a turn of consciousness with that, and ends up, you know, getting the Binky Bandit, kicking him out the door, and, you know, sacrificing for the common good kind of thing. So, and then there at the end, it's like a top 10 ways to help the environment in your area. And they were actually ideas given to us by kids in Waukesha and out
really?
In Wisconsin. So it's
really,
yeah, cool stuff.
That is cool. Now, how old is Liam now?
He is 3.5.
Three and a half.
Yep.
So have you read the book too?
Oh, yeah. Every night.
What was the first
I mean, the first time you read it to him, what was that like?
Yeah, when I brought home the publisher's first edition, that was probably the coolest part of this whole experience. He saw it, his eyes lit up. He was like, that's Wally. You know what I mean? And then I turned the page and like, he's like, that's me, that's you, that's mommy. You know what I mean? And just reading it.
That is great.
Yeah, it was really cool. So, and the illustrator, Jaden Ellsworth, I got to give her some love. She did an unreal job of these illustrations. Like,
yeah, exactly, they look really good.
Yeah, exactly what I was.
Because obviously you got to have great illustrations for kids that young.
Yeah. And so we read it every night before bed. He holds it and looks at pictures in the car.
Really?
Yeah,
every night? Oh, he loves it. Great. I mean, and then, you know, when he gets older, he's always going to have that memory of dad. I mean, that's.
Yep. Yeah,
that really is special. Very, very special. When did you become so much environmentally conscious? And not only that, you want to do something about it. You're very public about it.
Yeah. Honestly, I always loved nature growing up, but 2006 was a turning point for me when I saw an Inconvenient Truth documentary talking about the kind of the planet problems we have with our climate. I just said, what is going on? And so from that point on, it was on my heart to do something about it. I knew I wanted to study in college, which I was fortunate to be able to do, and then wanted to do something with it in my professional life. Baseball worked out, which is great, but now that I'm using, you know, in this platform, I'm trying to use it for some environmental awareness and action.
Yeah, you're Players for the Planet, is that right?
Yep. I'm a big member of been a member of Players for the Planet for a couple years.
That's a Chris Dickerson thing, right? Former Red. Started it when he was here.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Shout out Chris Dickerson.
Chris Dickerson, yeah, he's the man. He does great work, and then I'm also part of Eco Athletes, part of the Brewers Sustainability Council.
Yeah,
trying to do some policy stuff, trying to do some tree planting, trying to do some, you know, waste saving around the clubhouse and around the stadium. So we're getting there. I still think we could do a lot better job in baseball of limiting our waste and trying to be a little bit more sustainable in our energy usage and all that. But we're heading a direction that I think there's going to be a turn here pretty quickly.
What's your number one? What's the number one on the list in society?
In society, trying to get away from the fossil fuel dependency and getting closer to cleaner energy. And personally, I'm pro-nuclear. I don't want to get too controversial here, but I think nuclear energy is the only way we get to where we need to get to for our grid power without using fossil fuel. So fossil fuel use is really damaging to the environment, both in its
damaging to my wallet, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
I know, but that's why I'm for nuclear energy. Yeah, it's cheaper and it's cleaner.
Yeah.
What to do with the waste, that's a problem, but like we can figure that out, I think. But fossil fuel use is just the exploration of it and the use of it is really damaging the planet, and I think that's the number one thing we need to turn away from in our society, and hopefully in the next decade or two, get back to sustainable, because no matter what, fossil fuels, we're not going to be able to live off them forever. There's only so much. There's still a lot left, but there's only so much
I worry about the power grid, too. We're using so much power.
Yeah,
somehow we're going to have trouble
at
some point, which I'm not looking forward to. What can baseball do? What would you like to see baseball do?
I would love solar panels. I would love like as much generated from renewable energy use as we could. I would love to see compost only in stadiums. So in terms of like concessions and silverware, like have everything be able to rot at least, so that you can divert all that waste from the landfill, which was really harmful for the air and all that stuff, and divert that into either recycling or composting programs. I think that would be huge. And I'd love to see organically grown and like local produce being more of a focus of the food we generate in the stadium, as opposed to shipped all over the place and all that stuff. So those are a couple of things for sure.
Your house got some solar stuff going on, or what do you do every day in your life? You don't just sing it, you bring it.
No, I want, my goal is to be in 5 years to be off the grid completely. That's my
really
goal.
At your house?
Yeah, that's my goal.
Now how do you do that when you say off the grid? You'll have no electricity?
I would try to be no net usage from the energy company. So I'd have to borrow some occasionally, but then I'd sell back that much and then some from my own energy usage, and that'd be through geothermal, solar panels, maybe getting some like heat transferring going. If I get like a pond or something in the backyard and use like the bottom of the lake or the pond for heat transfer for the house. That's something my wife's uncle does, and it's incredible. It's so efficient. So I'd love to do that, and then growing my own food at some point, and trying to get at least 80% organic food going, like from my own garden.
Wow. See, I told you, folks, he was going to up the IQ of this podcast. It's not a hard task, too, considering who the host is. But putting that Harvard education to work. I mean, that's something.
Well, we're looking to get solar. So we had solar panels at my old house. They were great. They powered us completely in the summer. During the winter, we had to get some from the grid for sure. But at the new house, we have a lot more roof space. But we're trying to get the solar score going as efficiently as we could before we put it in. But we're looking to put them in October, November.
Wow. All right, I'm going to check back in 5 years and see if you're off the grid.
Please do. I'll hold you to that.
Really? How far you are off the grid?
Yeah.
And then if you're a Cincinnati Red, we'll come out and do a story on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not that far of a drive from Anderson Township to Great American Ballpark.
Not far. Yeah, it's not far. You're right.
I'm just throwing it out there. I appreciate your time. I have you for, just hit the 30-minute mark. So I don't want to upset Mike Vassallo, since he's got such a big title now.
And senior executive.
He's such a big deal. Kind of a big deal. I appreciate your time, man. You're one of the good guys. I am so jealous of Sophia, who does what I do for the Brewers side. I'm like, she's got Brent Suter every day. Oh, my God. it's a dream, so I appreciate it.
But really, thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Rooting for you most of the time outside of... You get it, right?
Yeah. I feel that.
Well, all right. If you could do us a favor and if you could take us out of the Jim Day podcast as Jim Carrey, I would greatly appreciate an outro.
Alrighty, all you Cincinnatians, thank you so much for joining us. Jim Day, Brent Suter here. Have a great one. Take care now. Bye bye then. Some stories, share some laughs.